I'm taking my text from the Gospel reading, Mark chapter 9, verse 5. It is good for us to be here. It's good for us to be here. The Transfiguration story is traditionally associated with Mount Tabor. If you go on to the top of Mount Tabor now, you'll find a church. It's a modern church, but it's on the site of an ancient building dating back to the Middle Ages. And it's in three parts. There's the church, the main church, dedicated to Christ, and then there are two little chapels, one dedicated to Moses and the other to Elijah. And you can see how that relates to our reading today. The view from the top of the mountain, which is what I remember most from our visit, is magnificent. You're looking right across the plains. If you go there now, you're quite likely to meet crowds of tourists and pilgrims. You won't have the place to yourself. But in Jesus' time, it would have been a wild and lonely place. And that's where they meant, where the, Jesus took his disciples for the Transfiguration. They'd come to be alone. They'd come to pray, and they'd come to be close to God. What happened next has been described in our reading, but it's described also in words which are attributed to St. Peter himself. So some verses from the second letter of Peter, chapter 1. We were eyewitnesses of his majesty. He received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory, saying, "This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased." We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain. The Jesus that they knew was their friend, someone they had got to know well. He came from Nazareth, a rather insignificant place up in Galilee. He was the son of a carpenter. They thought they knew him well. But what they knew was the ordinary, everyday Jesus. And their eyes and their ears were about to be opened to see and hear a very different sort of reality. The Jesus that they saw in their vision was dazzling white. He was like one of the angels of God in heaven. He was like someone who was coming to judge the world. They were filled with wonder. They were filled with fear. Now, Jesus had already been recognized by Peter as the Messiah, the Christ, the one who was looked for, the one who would come to rescue Israel from their oppressors. But they were still thinking in terms of an earthly figure, of a human being, someone called by God, no doubt, but someone essentially an earthly ruler. They were still thinking in these purely human terms, but what they saw now was a heavenly vision. So it's no wonder that they were afraid. They were terrified, because they'd been told that if you see God, you will die. On the mountain, he was there with two other figures, the figures of two of the greatest religious leaders of their people, two of the people, the men that they most admired and revered. They were both people who had been on mountains, people who had brought revelations from God to the people. There was Moses. Moses, of course, had been on Mount Sinai, where he had received the law sent from God. And then there was Elijah. And we've had in our first reading stories about Elijah, but he was also a man of the mountains because he had this contest on Mount Carmel, where he called the Lord to accept a sacrifice and had a contest with the prophets of Baal. and where Elijah was able to demonstrate that it was God who ruled the world, God who answered prayer, and not the gods, and not Baal. So these two, Moses and Elijah, were amongst the greatest men that had ever lived. And there they were, with Jesus on the mountain, talking about his coming death and resurrection. So how did Peter react? It must have been, well, they say he didn't know what to say. But what he said was this. He said, let's build three shelters, three shrines, if you like, for you, Jesus, and for these great men, treating you as their equal. He thought that in saying that, he had done enough to honour Jesus. He thought if he could say that Jesus was on as an equal with Moses and Elijah, he could hardly say more. But what he heard next proved that his proposal fell far short of what was actually required. Because that was when the cloud came down. Clouds on mountains have often been signs of God's presence. It showed, but also concealed, the presence of the majestic glory. And it was God himself who declared, "This is my Son." And there was Jesus on his own. So the true nature of Jesus, his real identity, had been revealed to them. So what they owed to him was not just admiration and reverence. To him they owed worship. So in the Transfiguration, what is earthly becomes heavenly, what is mundane becomes celestial. Everyday reality becomes the reality of God's being and his presence here and now. Well, that was the experience of these three men, Peter, James, and John. A revelation, a vision, perhaps just a dream. But the reality of faith was superimposing itself onto the reality of everyday life. And this happens again and again in the Bible throughout history, and it happens to us now. It's the experience of all ages, including our own. And such experience is open to us all. Like when the prophet Joel said that the Holy Spirit would come and the old men would see visions and the young men would dream, sorry, wrong way around. The young men would see visions, the old men would dream dreams. Even on your servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit. So these religious experiences are open to us all through the Holy Spirit. We think, therefore, a bit about our own experience of prayer and worship. Well, it may seem just like part of our everyday life. We come to church, we sing the hymns, we join in the prayers, we take communion. It may just seem to be part of our weekly routine. It may seem ordinary, mundane. And yet, if we allow it to happen, we can detect in these regular activities the presence and the power of Almighty God. This church building and all of us can be transfigured. We can be transfigured into the presence, the dwelling place of God, with all his angels praising him. We come here for an experience, a new experience, an experience actually which gives new meaning to our lives. Religious experience may be a sudden awakening, or it may be a gradual change of heart, or it can be peace after a long inward struggle. For some, it's Mount Tabor. For some, it's the road to Damascus. For others, it's just the sense that we are loved. We realize that we are loved by someone who knows our inward nature, someone of almighty power, in whose hands we are safe forevermore. We may feel, we may say, that we've had no religious experience at all. But I think if we say that, we're probably mistaken. We underestimate what is actually happening in our hearts as we worship. Well, we're coming now to a service of Holy Communion. If we can, we'll come up and we will kneel at the altar rail, or hold up our hands for a blessing, or receive a small disc of white bread and a sip of red wine. We hear some familiar words said, and we will respond, Amen. Then we'll get up, get to our feet, walk back to our seats, as we've done this perhaps many, many times before. So it's all very familiar. But is that necessarily all that will actually happen? The story of the Transfiguration invites us to think about reality on more than one level. There's the reality of bread and wine, but there is also the reality of Jesus' body and blood. If our spiritual ears are open, we can hear again the voice of God saying, "This is my Son, whom I love." Whether we hear it or not, we can be certain that Jesus is here. So let's treasure these moments of religious experience when we hear or perhaps feel God's presence along with us. May not happen often, may not last very long, but sometime after that, sooner or later, we have to come down from the mountain. Like Peter, James, and John, we come down from the mountain and take Jesus with us. We take with us the memory of all that we've seen and heard. It's not something to boast about. It's not easy to describe. The experience will, all the same, have changed us, deepened our understanding of our faith, inspired us to new service. And the one thing I hope we can all say from time to time is that it was good for us to be here. Amen.